This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I'm going to start the sermon a little bit different. I'm going to start with a testimony, and you can play it, Ian.
Well, I was not brought up Christian. I always had an empty hole in my heart, which I believe that if you don't know God, you know, you'll always have that empty hole in my heart, in your heart. But my mom did legitimately love me very much, but she died when I was 20. And my father, my biological father, could not give me the love that I needed, even though he really wanted to. So I always had this empty hole in my heart, and I was trying to fill it. And because I didn't know anything about the Bible, I tried to fill it with sin, but the hole got only emptier. So at one point I got in a really bad depression, and I wanted to kill myself, and I heard all these mean voices. And they were like, yeah, kill yourself, and just horrible. And then I heard this one voice, and it pierced right through, and it said, stop it, Sana! Stop it, Sana! I love you! I love you! And that voice started to take over. And then I all of a sudden just got this drive. It's almost as if he lifted me up. And I just was like, I need to figure out why I'm here. I need to understand why I'm here. I need to find God, even though I didn't even really know, like, you know? So he said, go to a church, go to a church. So I went, at first I went outside to go for a look, to look for a church, but everything was closed, so that's not where God wanted me. But then I went to look online, and I called, and the pastor said, well, we have an alpha course, and so I took the alpha course, and that is how my journey started to Christ. And each time it was a major battle, but I started to get convicted, and I started to talk to him, and I didn't understand what was going on. And then at one point I said yes, and then the Holy Spirit came to live inside of me, and it filled that empty hole with his love like it was perfect. And I realized that I was always loved, and I'm uniquely loved. He loves me in a way that he loves no one else, and he loves you in a way that he loves no one else. And my walk with him has just been absolutely beautiful. I'm such a happy girl now. I've become, I've had a lot of joy in my heart. I know I'm loved, so I've got a lot of joy in my heart. God has really taught me to be patient, more patient. I'm still, we're still working on that. And, but also just, my life has purpose. He has a plan for me. And I really want to live for him. Like, as long as I have him, my identity is in him. I'm loved, period. I don't have to work for it, he just gave it to me. And to know that you're loved regardless, that he's always with you, that was just overwhelming.
The reason why I wanted to start with this video clip, with this testimony, is Sana's got a testimony because somebody has been praying for her. And we are here because somebody has been praying for us. And if I put it that way, Sana was spiritually, she was asleep. She had to awaken. And somebody prayed for it. And it happened. She awakened. And she could start walking with Jesus. And this is what I'm going to spend some time on this week, because when I got the word, and I thought, is this now really what I've got to preach about? And then the Lord gave me Isaiah 50, and in one verse, it happens even twice that it's mentioned over there, awaken. Is this a better one? No, it's fine. I won't walk that far. So it's really, yeah, this is what I would like to share today, and it's about awaken. And it's actually awesome how Paul is using something which we do on a daily basis, and what he's using in the Bible, so that we can associate it with it. Because all of us, under normal circumstances, and in maybe very, very extreme instance if you're a student, no, I maybe must delete that one as well, each and every day we awaken. Each and every day we wake up. It could maybe be that if you've had really a very rough party, or you had studied 2 or 3 days without any sleep, that you maybe are going to sleep 24 hours, but somewhere in that period you're all going to awaken, but then you're going to sleep again. So it's actually quite common for us to hear that awaken, because yes, we're doing it each and every day. And I would like that we're going to read just now in Romans 13, and that we're going to read 11 to 14, where Paul is talking about awaken and what is actually happening when we are awakening. A little bit about the Romans. Romans is the longest letter what Paul has been writing. To be exactly, it has got 7,000 words, where normally the letters of him are anything around 1,300 words. So that's actually not that long. So this one is really a long letter what he's writing to a church which he never started. The other churches where he wrote letters to, he started those churches, but the Romans one, he didn't start that church. Not quite sure how this church has started, but the feeling is that there were approximately 40,000 Jews in Rome. Some of them have been in Jerusalem with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to celebrate next week. And then they went back to Rome, and then they started the church over there. But then there was one of the emperors, the name was Claudius. In AD 49, he chased all the Jews out of Rome. He said, go, all of them. So they had to go out. And then 5 years later, another emperor with the name of Nero, he came, and it was in AD 54, and he said, come back again, Jews, you can come back again, because you're good for business. Please come back. I need you. I need you for the business in Rome. But in the period, the Gentiles have taken the church over. Now the Jews are coming back. Now they find the church is now governed by Gentiles. So now you've got the Gentiles against the Jews. And there was friction between the two. And that's actually what Paul is writing about. In the whole of Romans, he's explaining it. And he's telling, reminding also the Jews and the Gentiles about sin. And he's also telling them that the one group is not better than what the other group is. The part what I would like to have a look at this afternoon is 2 Romans 13 verses 11 to 14. And I'm first going to read it out of the New King James Version. And then later on, I'm going to, as I'm going through the scriptures, I'm going through and using the Amplified Classic, which has got more words, not always directly the best translation, but it is elaborating a little bit on it, and it will explain it a little bit more. Romans 13 verse 11 to 14. And do this, knowing the time, that's now, it is high time to awaken out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in the revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. And then the awaken, yeah, what the Bible is using, the word what is used over there, and if we take a look at the strong, it actually means is that you rise out of your sleep, you are awakening out of your sleep. And it could even be that you're sitting or lying, and it could even be that you are dead, that the person is awakened out of death. And then it also said that figuratively, it's also from obscurity, inactivity, or even from a non-existence. So it's loaded much more than just opening your eyes in the morning and say, okay, I'm awake. It's more than that, much more than that. Because it also says that you are going to awake. And if you awake, you lift up, you raise up. And you're basically going to stand. And there's an expectation because something is now going to happen. So it's not just a matter of just standing next to your bed, but there's also more in it, in that word awaken. It is also something is going to happen now. There's an expectancy which is going along with it. And if we take a look at what the dictionary is saying as well, it is also that it is that it describes a person's state, that he is asleep. And then when he's awake, then his eyes are open. And that's also the contrast, asleep and awake. First verse what I would like to have a look at is the one from Romans 13 verses 11 out of the Amplified, like I said. Besides this, you know that the critical hour this is. how it is high time now for you to wake out of your sleep, to rouse to reality for salvation. The final deliverance is nearer to us now than when we first believed, when we first adhered to, or when we first trusted in or relied on Christ, the Messiah. So we've got to awaken out of a sleep. What Paul is saying is that all of us, all of the Christians, should be morning people. No, not all of us are morning people. Some people are like a light switch. It's more like me. I'm switched on or switched off. It could be early in the morning. You've got other people. It's like a dimmer, what you've got here as well. So steadily it is turning higher and higher and brighter, and then the eyes are opening up. And I think all of you can associate with the one, or you can associate with the other one. And I'm not going to ask anything about it. What Paul is saying is, Christians, we should all of us be morning people. So we should be awake immediately. We should be opening up our eyes. And if we're going to open up our eyes, then we are basically ready. We are active. We can do something. It's not a matter of that something else has got still got to happen, but we are ready. And that is contrast of what sleep is. Sleep means you're passive, you're doing nothing. And this is what Paul is saying. We've got to wake up. We've got to move from that sleep. We've got to go to the awake, that we can be active and that we can do whatever has got to be done. And also what Paul is writing is that of what he's saying over there is that sleep is also that we are sometimes that we are, how should I say, we are asleep for a life of a moral carelessness and slackness. If we take a look around us over here, unfortunately in the Netherlands and the whole of the Western world actually, is that we can see, unfortunately, that they are spiritually asleep, because a lot of things are happening, which if we go back to the Bible, then we'll say, it's not allowed to happen. This is not God's will, what is happening over there. A lot of things, if we take a look at how family life is happening over here, if we take a look at marriages, if we take a look at how people staying together, sexual relations, things like abortion, prostitution, and so on, we can take a look at the Bible and say, what does it say about this? What does it tell about this? And then we see, but the world is actually asleep around us. Then the question, when do we have to awake? And then he says, now. So we shouldn't wait. It should happen now. It's not a matter of let's wait for a week or two or maybe a month or, you know what, I'm 25, I still have got to study. And once I'm studied, I want to build my career, I want to get married and children. 65, 67, when I'm moving in an old age home, that's my now. Not now, but that will be my now. Then I've got time for God. Just put him a little bit on the back burner. Paul is saying, now. And now is now. There's no other time for it. That we've got to make ourselves ready and that we've got to be active. The next verse, what he says in 12 over there is, put off and take off. Romans 12 verses 13. The night is far gone and the day is almost there. Let us just drop off, fling away the works and the deeds of darkness, and let us put on the full armor of the light. So we've got to put something off, things which are what we're wearing in the darkness. We normally, all of us, have got a habit to change clothes before we're going to work or to go to study. I think all of us. I think there are not many of them who are wearing the same clothes. What they're wearing at night is what you're wearing at day. And I haven't seen any people walking in their nightwear and go to work or to study or in the bus or anything like that. No, not yet. So we've got to put something off. We've got to take something off. And what it says over there is that clothes which are representing sin and sinful works, what is happening at night, it has got to be taken off. Because that stuff is keeping us in bondage. And we see it many times in the Bible that there are explanations where we see something like this happening. Something has got to be taken off before you can put something on. If you take a look at the blind man Bartimaeus, when Jesus called him, he threw off his coat, which was showing that he was a blind man. because he threw off that status. He didn't want to have that status of a blind man anymore. He knew Jesus was going to heal him now. He's going to see again. That's what he was looking for. We can see it as well with the kings. We can also see with the high places, what they did with the high places, they destroyed it. They took the idol stuff away, and then they placed God's stuff on it. But it wasn't a matter of that they were first, of that they were just putting God's stuff on top of it. No, they first wiped out the negative stuff so that the good stuff could be put onto it. And now I'm doing a little bit of an advertisement for the Foundation for the Deliverance on Friday as well. It's exactly the same, what we're doing over there. We're going to have a look and see what is there, what is maybe holding you back, so that you can bring it to God, that it can be taken away, and that you can be what God wants you to be. Let's give you a practical experience. Now, if my wife was going to bind my hand on my back, then I cannot do the dishes. So I'm in bondage because I can't do the dishes. And Sivil most probably will deliver me from that and loosen it, that I can do the dishes. And she will maybe show it to me as well, how to do the dishes, that I do it exactly correct. Just to give you a practical example of what is actually happening. In our lives, it's happening that things are holding us back. We are in bondage. If you'd also take a look at that picture, which is showing on Foundation 4, then you can see the shackles there have been broken open. And that's what we're looking for, what Foundation 4 is going to do. So if you've got time, please come over there. But again, something is taken away, and that God's things can be placed, and that it can start working, and that we can be used for that. It was in my own life as well. It was for a very long period. It was all about me. And that is most of the time it is, because sin, if you take the word, the I is in the middle, so it's always about us. It's not about God, but if we're sinning, then it's for the benefit of us. And in my life as well, it was a lot of times it was, where is my name written down? What title do I have? Do they give me recognition? That was very important for me. Till I actually found out, but that's not what God wants me to do. So I could repent of it. I could leave it. And it's not important for me anymore. If I'm a pastor or something else, I don't mind. If the Lord tells me I've got to be here to bring the word, then I'll do it. What type of title they give me, that's not my concern. And that is what God wants us, that all of us is actually happening. That we can have a look and say, but okay, what is it what we've got to put off? What is it what we've got to take off? Like when we wake up in the morning, we open up our eyes, we take off the clothes what we've been wearing that night, and then we are ready to put on what God tells us to put on. And that we can read also in the same verse where it says then, and put on the full armor of light. Paul is well known that he has used that terminology, armor, quite a few times. He's used it in Thessalonians, in Corinthians, and in Hebrews, and he's each and every time talking about the armor or a part of the armor, what he's talking about it, and how important it is. And if you read that verse before he's explaining the spiritual armors, how important it is actually the spiritual war which is happening, where it says in Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 18, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have done to stand. And there we can see that it's not a fight of flesh that we are fighting against each other. It's in the spirit. That happened as well with Sunny. Somebody was praying in the spirit, and in the spirit there was a change. And if we're praying, then we're fighting. We're fighting in the spirit. And this is what this verse is referring to. Because sometimes we think if we've got a certain idea, we've got to hammer it into the other person's head. Now, the Bible is not very thick, but sometimes people have got thick Bibles and they want to bring the gospel like that. It's not like that. We've got to pray. We've got to pray. We've got to start a spiritual fight, what we've got to start, and we've got to open up, because we are what we've got behind us is more, is what we are going to fight against, and it's a spiritual. And in the church ourselves as well, this week we also had a situation again where we could experience how important is the spiritual fight which is happening. We cannot ignore it. And it's sometimes difficult because people are accusing you. But it's not a person, it's the spirit. And that's what we've got to keep in mind. Like it says, our enemy is not flesh and blood, but it is the spirit which is behind it. So we've got to put on the full armor of light. And if we also put on the full armor of light, light is the opposite of darkness. So we're going to shine the light. And Jesus has said it as well in this Sermon on the Mountain, where he also was talking about that we've got to be the light. We've got to show the light. We've got to show it to the people in the world. The light which moves away the darkness. The next verse is Romans 13, verse 13. Let us live and conduct ourselves honorable and become as in the open light of day, not in reveling, carousing, and drunkenness, not in immorality or debauchery, sensuality and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. The Amplified is talking about let us live and conduct. The New King James is talking about let's walk properly. And if we take a look at that word again, it has got both in them. It's not a matter of just walking, because the walking what they're referring to over here is that if you can walk, then you've got a certain capacity, you've got an ability to do something. So it's much more loaded than just putting one foot in front of the other, but it's loaded, it has got much more along with it. So if you can walk, then you can really do it, something can be done. And it also says that you've got to live, like what the Amplified is saying there, we've got to live and conduct. So you can live it out, you can follow. So you following somebody as well, you're imitating somebody. And then you also go and you're occupied with it. So you're continuously busy with that. So we've got to, change, that we walk and that we're continuously busy with it. That we walk along with what God wants us to do and not the other bad things, what he's showing us to do, what we shouldn't do over there. Because we've got to walk that we're going to please God. 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 1 says, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in Lord Jesus, that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us, how you ought to walk and to please God. So we've got to walk, we've got to live, that we are pleasing God. Coming back again to what he's telling us not to do. And I had a look at a few different translations, and I found in the ESV, actually the English Standard Version, I found the best type of grouping over there, where it says, let us walk properly in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immoralities and sensualities, and not in quarreling and jealousy. So the first two, we can see, those are sin of addictions. This is where people have got addictions to those type of stuff. Then sexual immorality. The sexual sins are mentioned over there. And then he's got the social sins, where we are quarreling and where we are jealous. The reason why Paul is also mentioning it over there of the sexual sins is 14 out of the 15 emperors of the Roman Empire were known to be active with homosexuality. Not to say that they didn't have wives. They had wives for the offspring, but they had male people, young people sometimes, for the sexual pleasure. So these were the guys who were governing the country. Now you can imagine, if you've got those type of people governing the country, what is actually going down into the moral of the people? So that Paul is mentioning it over here, it's not that this guy's a little bit mad about it. That's what the situation was at that time. 14 out of the 15, they were involved with sexual homosexuality, and they were active in it. So Paul is telling us that we've got to stay away from that. So the putting off and the putting on is a process which we continuously have got, and it's a long process. It's a process which is never going to end. We're never going to come to a stage that we can say, okay, And I've repented of everything, because I still have got to repent each and every day of something what I've done wrong. And I think most of you will say, yes, it's happening in our lives as well. Then we say, okay, Lord, I've got to bring this one again, or I've found out this one. And sometimes it's servicing after a long period that it comes up that you say, okay, I've got to bring this one to the Lord. I never thought about it, but the Holy Spirit is stirring you up and it's bringing you that you can clear it, that you can leave it, and that it is going out, that it is not bothering you. So we're going to be continuously busy. It's not a matter of just quickly 5 minutes. Continuously we're busy with getting rid of stuff and putting on and getting more and more of Jesus, that we're going to be similar as what Jesus wants us to be. And then Paul is repeating that clothing again in verse 14, where he says, be clothed yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and do not and make no provision for indulging in the flesh. Put a stop to thinking about the evil cravings in the physical nature to gratify its desires, lusts. So he's repeating it again. He's coming back again. How do we have to clothe ourselves? And then he's using a title over there, actually the official title of Jesus, if we can put it that way. Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord. We're going to sing it just now as well, because in the song we're going to sing King, Friend and Savior. And that's actually what it is. He's King, He's Lord, He's Jesus, He's our brother, He's our friend, and He's Christ, He's our Savior. That's the full title what Jesus has got. And we've got to clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ. Now we know it is raining outside. If I put a raincoat over myself, I cover myself against the rain. And that's what's happening as well. If we put Jesus on, if we put Jesus as a cloth, if we put it on, then we protect ourselves. We are under covering of Jesus. He's protecting us. So we've got to put on Christ. But putting on Christ is more than that, because what we're doing is we're going to imitate Him. We're trying to do exactly the same as what Christ has been doing. We take a look at that job description, what Christ has got, and we say, okay, what is it what I can do? Because that job description what Jesus has got, I can still not reach it, but it doesn't matter. I'm still in the process. And maybe one thing will happen today, maybe another thing will happen next week, I don't know when, what, but at the final end, because in effect, we should be able to do everything what Jesus has been doing. He's saying it in His word. So we can work towards that. Because it's not a matter of, okay, it's only for a few people who can pray for other people to heal or whatever. Jesus is saying that we can do all of it. So we can pray. We can pray for other people to get healed. We can send out demons. We can bring the gospel. We can tell other people, repent, because the kingdom is at hand. So that's a change what we're continuously going to have. In Galatians 3 verses 27 also is talking about putting on Christ, where it says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So if we are baptized in Christ, we are putting on Christ. We are covering ourselves with Christ all around us. And then we imitate. We do what God wants us to do. Outside, we hear quite a lot of churches who are talking about revival and they're talking about awakening or awaken, and what is the difference between them. If we take a look at revival is more for the church, where the church has got to renew, where the church has got to restore, where the church has got to spiritual awaken, of where the church has got to restore that it is going to be again is what initially should have been, what we can read in Acts as well. And then if we're talking about a spiritual awakening, that is for the salvation of sinners. So if we take a look at what the church has got to do, we first have got to get revival in our church. Because if we've got revival in our church and we know what we've got to do, then we start praying for other people. Then we're going to be trying to get the lost, that they're going to be called in. And then we're going to see that people are going to be spiritually, that they're going to be awakened, and that they're going to come in. So the church has got to first be revived before the lost people can be saved and where they can be come in. It's not a very long sermon this afternoon, and I want to finish off with a conclusion. Paul is writing the letter to the church of Rome to wake them up and tell them time is coming. light is in the morning when we can see, okay, the light is coming up, okay, the day is coming. Nowadays it's very early in the morning, but it's coming. We can see the day is coming. We cannot wait too long. We actually cannot wait. It is urgency. And that's what we should see as well, is that what we have got to do, there's an urgency in it. It's not a matter of, let's delay it a little bit, let's wait a little bit. It's now we've got to do it. We've got to open up our eyes. And we've got to take off that night clothes. Those things which do not belong to God, those things which are from the night, we've got to take it off and we've got to leave it behind. We shouldn't be wearing it. And we've got to put on the armor. We've got to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, with our King and our friend and our Savior. And then we're going to walk, and then we're going to walk with Christ. And that's what we've been singing just now as well, that we're breathing continuously. This is what we do in Christ. We continuously breathe in Christ in and out. We are busy with it. It is not a matter of that it is only for certain days or only for certain hours or continuously. It must be on our mind. Christ is our Savior. He's our King and He's our friend as well. And we can only walk with Jesus if we agree what Jesus is telling us to do. In Amos 3 verse 3 it says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? So we've got to agree with Jesus, what Jesus is doing. We cannot carry on our own. That is in Amos 3 verses 3. Amos 3 verses 3, that's written over there. If me and Renee are going for a walk, we first talk about it. Where are we going to walk? Then we agree on it, and then we walk together. It's not a matter of that we just start walking. One is going left and the other one is going right. It doesn't work like that. We've got to agree on it. And that's also what we've got to do. We've got to agree with God. And basically, we've got to submit to God's will. We've got to find out, Lord, where do you want me to go? Turn left, turn right? Should we go straight forward? Whatever has got to be done. So the last part, that walking with Jesus, is also continuously in communication with Jesus. We're talking and we're hearing. And we're not going our own way. And say, Jesus, you've got to follow us. And Jesus, you've got to bless whatever we're going to do now. We walk with Jesus where he wants us to go. Please stand. Heavenly Father, we are maybe awake for what the world is saying, because our eyes are open, or maybe closed at the moment, for what, when we are in prayer, but we are awake. We can hear and we can see, and we're not asleep. But for you, Father, there are people who are asleep, and they've got to awaken. And there are quite a few people in our family, in our friends, at work, at university, in the street, and so on, who are spiritually asleep, Father. They maybe go to work and they maybe go to university, but they are spiritually, they are asleep. And Father, we want to pray for them, that they will awaken. Because it has got to happen now. We can't wait. It's too late. If we're going to wait for next week or the week after that, we've got to start praying for them, Father. And that they can awake. And that they can take off whatever is keeping them back. And that they can be clothed on with Jesus. And that they then can start walking with Jesus. And as all the eyes are closed, if you maybe hear this afternoon and you say, but I'm hearing all this, but I've never made a decision. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I heard about it, but I've never made the decision in public. And I'm inviting you this afternoon, if it's now the time that the Holy Spirit is stirring you and you feel you've got to make the decision now, then I'm inviting you to put up your hand and you say, yes, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I actually want to move out of that sleep. I want to be awakened. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior now. And I want to accept God as the Creator of heaven and earth. And I want to repent of all my sins. I want to accept what God is offering to us. If that is for you, and if when all the eyes are closed, and I'm asking you to lift your hand. And then I'm asking If you may be here this afternoon, and as we were talking about the sins, about things which we actually still as clothing, what we still have got on, what we've got to take off, and that the Holy Spirit reminded you of something which you've got to bring to God the Father, then I'm inviting you as well, as what we're going to sing just now, that you can come forward, that we can pray along with you, with the others who are facilitating it, with the ministry, that we can pray along with you, that you can bring it to God the Father, that you can take it off what is holding you back, whatever bondage or whatever luggage there is, that you can leave it at the cross, that you don't have to carry it along. And maybe you're here this afternoon that you say, yes, I've taken it off, I've left it at the cross, but I want to do more. I want to take on what God is giving me. And one of the things what God is giving me, what I know, what we're going to celebrate next week as well, is the Holy Spirit. I've asked God to give me the Holy Spirit, but I feel that today as well, if there's somebody who says, but I've never started speaking in tongues, and I would like to speak in tongues, then I'm going to invite you to come forward as well, that we can pray along with you. And then last, but actually the most important one, that we're going to start walking with Jesus. And as Jesus was reaching out his hand to other people, and he was healing them, he was sending out demons, and he was bringing the gospel, and he was praying for people, that if you want to walk along with Jesus the same as what Jesus has been doing, and you want to duplicate him, you want to imitate him as good as what you can, then I'm inviting you, it maybe sounds strange, but to physically come forward. And by coming forward, you actually commit yourself. You say, Jesus, I want to follow you. And I've got a few cards over here, and there are more on the info table, where you can write down a few names of people where you're going to pray for, because that's actually what you're going to do. You're going to be involved now to awaken other people, what Jesus has been doing. Then I'm going to ask you to come forward and to come and pick up one of these cards, that you say, yes, I want to be actively involved in it. I don't want to be passive. I don't want to be asleep. I want to be awake, and I want to do what God is telling me to do. I want to pray for other people, that other people can be awakened, that other people can be saved, that they can come to God, is what we heard with the testimony from Sana as well. So we're going to sing now, and if any of those what I just now mentioned or touching your hearts, please feel free to come to the front, that we can pray along with you. Because we shouldn't be asleep, we should be awake. Our eyes should be open, we should be busy with God's kingdom. We cannot wait. It has got to happen now. That's what Paul is writing us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.